Der Beitrag von Christus Evangelio ist eine Auseinandersetzung mit Nietzsches Kritik an Sokrates. Evangelio setzt sich zum Ziel, diese Kritik in ihrer ganzen Schärfe hervorzuheben, ihre Ungerechtigkeit anzuklagen und auch gewissermaßen die Hybris von Nietzsche, das Maßlose an seinem Verhalten gegenüber dem Meister, dem Vater der Philosophie. So wird zwar Parmenides genannt, aber Sokrates wird immer wieder auch als solcher gehandelt.
There is no ambiguity in Nietzsche's attitude towards Socrates and his lifelong attack on Socrates and Socratic values. It is a question of values, of course, and that is what I try to show in this paper, in this study.
Der junge Mann, most outrageous, das ist die Hybris. Seine Anklage ist noch schlimmer als die der Mörder von Sokrates. Evangelius Wortwahl ist sehr drastisch. Es scheint ihm, ähnlich wie Plato, sehr ans Herz zu gehen, was mit Sokrates geschieht, was mit seiner Anklage und seiner Verurteilung zum Tode geschieht, gleichsam ein zweites Mal durch Nietzsche, aus einer bequemen Distanz. Ein Teilnehmer kritisierte Evangelio mit dem Argument, dass er es sich leicht gemacht hätte, einen Toten zu kritisieren. Dasselbe kann natürlich von Nietzsche behauptet werden. Ob eine derartige moralische Verurteilung oder Beanstandung die inhaltlichen Aspekte des Vortrags wirklich in Frage stellt, ist eine andere Sache.
These young men had the temerity to try to outdo the old accusers of historic Socrates, for he came up with an imaginative and most outrageous charge against the Athenian philosopher. Deep in his guts, Nietzsche felt, and dared to write, not just say, that Socrates was not innocent at all as a philosopher and as a man. Socrates was guilty of a hideous crime, much worse than the ones of which he was officially accused and tried and put to death. Socrates of Athens was a bloody murderer, according to Nietzsche, and his way of thinking. Why? Because Socrates was ultimately responsible for the untimely death of Greek tragedy, that is to say, the best aesthetic product of Athenian dramatic poetry and classical Greek art in general. This outrageous charge was made, as we said, by the 26-year-old Nietzsche in his first published book. Or to summarize, that for Nietzsche, Socrates is the prototype of the scientific spirit, and therefore, he must be criticized because, at least at his time, Nietzsche's time, science has reached an impasse and there was a need to come back to art, especially tragic art.
Gnoti seau tu, erkenne dich selbst, Pythias Motto, Apollonisch. Das war die Hauptkritik Nietzsches an Sokrates in seiner Geburt der Tragödie. Evangelio wirft Nietzsche schlechte Nachahmung der Aristophanes-Kritik vor. Er wirft ihm aber auch vor, dass er den historischen Sokrates in einer Weise konstruiere, die es ihm überhaupt erst ermöglichen würde, ihn so besser zu demontieren, um sich selbst an dieser Demontage zu erbauen. Die Kritik an Nietzsche fällt ebenso scharf aus wie Nietzsches Kritik an Sokrates.
The knowledge which Socrates sought was not of the natural world, but of the human soul. Gnosis afton, know thyself, had become the emblem of the Socratic search for wisdom. And far from being anti-artistic, Socrates confesses at the end of his life that he had conceived of philosophy as the highest form of music, the inner harmony of the soul. The declared goal of the Platonic Socrates, at least, and Xenophon will agree with that, was to discover and to see clearly the divine essence of the human being, of the human soul, temporarily encaged inside the mortal being. He wanted to try to put in the best possible order the various and continuous conflicting elements so that they would ultimately harmonize with each other. Such achieved harmony would make the Socratic philosopher feel at home in this life and in the life to come if it turned out that not everything ended at the grave. In this respect, then, Nietzsche would seem to have followed Aristophanes without having the Aristophanian poetic license. He is making up a caricature of Socrates in order to have an easier target for his critique. This Socrates, the Socrates which Nietzsche criticizes, is the uncompromising opponent, no, the historical Socrates, which Nietzsche leaves out of his critique, is the uncompromising opponent of the sophist of his time, Protagoras and Gorgias, Thrasymachus and Callicles, and of all others, the so-called well-born Greeks, who were admired by Nietzsche as paragons and advocates of traditional aristocratic values. And this is the core difference between the two. Nietzsche comes straight on the side of the sophist and the so-called aristocratic values of the Greeks.
Das nächste Stück heißt Apeiron und ist eine Vertonung des Fragments des Anaximander aus dem Werk Ionische Fraktate von Martina Zischek. Woraus aber die Dinge das Entstehen haben, dahin geht auch ihr Vergehen nach der Notwendigkeit. Denn sie zahlen einander Strafe und Buße für ihre Ruchlosigkeit nach der festgesetzten Zeit. Jeremiah Reedy brachte einen Beitrag zu Intercultural Communications in Classical Antiquity. Er stellte sich die Frage nach der Rolle des Griechischen, der griechischen Sprache im Zuge der antiken Globalisierung, ist vielleicht zu viel gesagt, aber zumindest der Ausweitung der griechischen Kultur über den Raum Hellas hinaus. Interessant dabei ist nicht nur, dass Griechisch die Lingua Franca war in einem unglaublich großen geografischen Raum, die Sprache, die für uns heute Englisch ist. Er spricht sogar einmal von Pidgin Creek. Und es ist auch sehr erstaunlich zu hören, wer aller Griechisch gesprochen hat und sich die griechische Kultur auch für eigene Zwecke angeeignet hat, für eigene kulturelle Weitergabe.
It is generally agreed that the ancient Greeks were not interested in languages other than their own, and therefore neither studied nor mastered them. It is also true, I believe, that neither Plato nor Aristotle, nor anyone else in antiquity who wrote on education, advocated the study of other languages for the possible educational value. With regard to not learning foreign languages, there were, of course, exceptions. Thucydides tells us that Themistocles, having been ostracized, quote, learned as much as he could of the Persian language and the manners of the country. Then after a year, he arrived at the court and became a person of importance, indeed more influential there than any Hellene had ever been, end quote.
Die griechisch-römischen Verbindungen, der Philohellenismus bei den Römern ist bekannt. Weniger bekannt ist das Griechische in Indien und vor allem bei den Juden, die Diaspora und ihren Gebrauch des Griechischen.
Greek was the lingua franca from Italy to India and from Macedonia to Egypt. There is a vast corpus of literature on Philhellenism among the Romans, but unless it has escaped my attention, not much has been written on Philhellenism among other peoples, such as the Indians, the Persians, the Egyptians, the Gauls, and the Jews. With regard to the Jews, Martin Hengel, a leading authority on Judaism, has written that the Jews were fascinated by the superior technology and culture of the Greeks. End quote. Jewish youths preferred a Greek education to their own, which had been designed to produce scribes. Parenthetically, it must have been that young people, finding Greek culture so appealing, played an important role in the spread of Hellenism and in the development of Greek as a lingua franca. Victor Cherikover, another recognized authority on this subject, writes as follows, quote, "It is clear that the Greek language won a decisive victory over Hebrew and Aramaic among Jews of the diaspora, and this victory was won in the Hellenistic period, since in the Roman and Byzantine epoch, the reawakening of the national spirit caused a considerable revival of Hebrew. With regard to the Septuagint, while in antiquity, there were those who held that it had been done to enable the Greeks to read the Hebrew scriptures. Most scholars, modern scholars, do not agree." Cherikover again writes, "There is little doubt that the translation was carried out for the benefit of the Jews themselves, for the simple reason that the Egyptian Jews had ceased to understand Hebrew, and it was necessary to provide them with the Pentateuch in the language which they spoke. Greek prevailed in the synagogue, in the official assemblies of the communities, and in literature and in daily life."
Als letzten Beitrag stelle ich den von Alistair Beatty vor, sein Titel Accessing the News. Es geht ihm vor allem um die Dichotomie und ihre Überbrückung, die Dichotomie zwischen Materialität und Immaterialität des Nous, des Geistes, und um die Verbindung zwischen Nous im Einzelnen und Weltidee, Weltstruktur. Er spricht sogar von World Mind. Einige Teilnehmerinnen haben ihn als verrückt abgestempelt. Manche der Zuhörerinnen und Zuhörer werden das vielleicht aufgrund seiner Emphase auch tun.
Leaving the hard scientific mindset and its material monism, the definition of the nous would include directives from the collective unconscious as well as the conscious collective mind, which is mass mind. The volonté générale of Rousseau, or the hierarchized general mind, the British idealists.
Die radikale Einbildungskraft ist für ihn das Zentrum, aus dem heraus neue Gestalten entstehen, das Zentrum des Nous, beziehungsweise es ist die Schnittstelle zwischen Materialität und Immaterialität, zwischen Physik und Metaphysik. Ohne radikale Einbildungskraft keine schöpferische Gestaltung der Welt.
The Coleridgean primary imagination, which is superior to mere derivative juxtaposition, pictures what actually is, or what may be in the future be, from associative neuronal patterns which it accesses. This primary imagination, which is the higher type of creative imagination, as it forms new patterns, may use language, but is not limited to word, as logos. It also employs imagery. Athena is not only in the voice of the young girl, she is part of her every expression. The problem for the creative investigator is how best to access the nous, and it is a problem because the world mind, the combined immediate presence of universal intelligence, is not mechanical or digital, is not a mere data bank accessible by high-speed search engines. Nor is the world mind systemically organic, as is the brain. It requires a reach beyond physical matter of the brain for that which is not yet brain.
Diese sehr provokante Bezeichnung der Philosophie greift zurück auf eine bereits bestehende Bezeichnung der Philosophie als Markt der Theologie. Es ist dies eine zynische Anspielung auf ein einstmals und vielleicht zum Teil immer noch nachwirkendes tragisches Schicksal dieser Disziplin.
There is a profane notion that philosophy has no practical use and that with all art it is a camp follower behind the armies of the material empire. They say philosophy trails along behind the dictates of empirical necessity, that philosophy describes ethics but does not create them. In this picture, the prostitute philosopher, like the naked emperor, is too silly to see that his clothes are virtual and is too feeble to adequately access the nous. Thus, the vital decisions that must be made to keep the planet habitable are not made. The bureaucracy and the media must somehow serve the general will. But from an eclectic point of view, which is metaphysically pragmatic and also metaphysically political, and even worse, which is also a personal metaphysic, since it involves one's hereditary traditions and intelligence, one may well do to eliminate this profane notion which trashes philosophy as non-creative activity.
Das Thema des Symposiums war Kommunikation. Philosophie und Kommunikation, Philosophie der Kommunikation. Es war sehr viel die Rede von Rhetorik von Aristoteles. Er ist heute zu kurz gekommen. Wir haben uns mehr mit Platon befasst. Platon stand im Zentrum, denn der Kongress war unter anderem auch zum 2400. Todestag von Sokrates veranstaltet worden. Ich nehme dieses Motto, dieses Thema Kommunikation zum Anlass, meine Kollegin Marie-Louise Angerer zu kritisieren, die einmal in einem Vortrag in Wien vor ungefähr 4 Jahren den Vorschlag gemacht hat, die Philosophie durch die Kommunikationswissenschaften zu ersetzen. Und zwar aufgrund der Ubiquität, der Allgegenwärtigkeit, der Omnipräsenz, der Medien, des Medialen, der Kommunikation. Ich denke, dieser Kongress in Rhodos hat gezeigt, wie verwoben Philosophie und Communication sind und nicht Kommunikationswissenschaft. Vielleicht ist dies der Irrtum. Zum Abschluss ein Lied von Jim Morrison, gesungen von Nico, The End.
Beautiful. surprise the end. I never look into your eyes again. Can you picture what will be? Ride the king's highway, babe. Weird scenes inside the gold mine. Ride the highway west. Ride the snake to the lake, the ancient lake. The snake is long, 7 miles. Ride the snake. Skin is cold. The West is the best. The West is the best. Get here and we'll do the rest. The blue boss is calling us. The blue boss is calling us. Driver, where you're taking us. The killer awoke before dawn. He put his boots on. He took a face from the ancient gallery and he walked on down the hall. He went to the room where his sister lived, and then he paid a visit to his brother, and then he... He walked on down the hall, and he came to a door, and he looked inside. Father, yes, son, I want to kill you. Mother, I want to... with us. Come on, babe, take a chance with us. Try to die.